Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the app store for free today.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Killer Keller podcast. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. You can check out the Kellervision app right now, free download on Android and iPhone. Oh my gosh, we're doing it live again. We're going across the pond. We're doing it proper. We are going into the realms, people. I see ya. Into the world of the battles. URL, don't flop, new name it, King the Dot. This is, we are getting into some serious legacy holding right now. The man, he goes by the name. South side of Chicago's very own. 30 million streams and God knows how many tracks he's pulling out the bag. Big T inside the place. What's good, my brother?
Yes, sir. Big T, Mr. Chilaka Boo. You know, UK love to call me Mr. Boo Blocka. I miss it out there. I love it, man. I love it.
Big Tuna as well. That's another one, isn't it?
Big Tuna. Tuna.
What's the deal with Big Tuna? Where did that come about?
Oh man, Big Tuna is a story, man. I remember one time I was out in Queens, right? You know, I was actually about to get up with Hollow, but I was kicking with one of his boys, and then it was an old guy. He was fascinated with the mob, and I was like, he was like, "Where you from?" I say, "Chicago." He say, "Oh," so I'm thinking he about to say Al Capone. He say, "You heard of Big Tuna?" I say, "Tuna." I say, who's Big Tuna? He say, he break him down to me. He was one of the mobsters in Chicago that, you know, was under the ratings, but was as powerful as Al Capone, but never got caught. You know what I mean? Never was, you know, just one of the most serious, as coolest, that you wouldn't even know he was tied in like that. And he was known for fishing, Big Tuna. Me, I'm That's more of a swimming. Good. And you'll know more into it once you listen to my music. You'll see why I took on that personality.
I love the fact that there's a narrative to every story. I think there's a lot of thought that goes into you guys. Have MC, you battle MCs particularly. I feel like you create your own narrative. And I think it comes out like as crass as it might sound, you know, like wrestlers, they have their they have their personas and they build upon them, and this it's almost like an urban legend almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, man. It becomes, and then, you know, I like the names to become natural, like Big T, Boo Blah, like you know what I mean? These is all names that kind of like I fell upon, like, you know, through life. So, you know, I might have another name in a year or two, you know what I'm saying? But as long as I'm still moving.
Telling you, there's mythology to you, bro. Like, for those of you who don't know, Big T, he was one of the formidable early adoptees of the URL. Battle World, full stop.
I was actually the first battle on the URL ever.
Which is insane to think about, because it's become such a huge international thing. It's almost like it's always been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To me, I don't realize it because I kind of just was battling and not expecting it, but it's kind of an honor in itself to be the first one. Like,
first,
you know what
one,
I mean?
Bro.
Like, you know, just to lead off, like, the night I was a rookie, didn't nobody know me. I'm from Chicago at this time. They seen me on the Lions then, but it was kind of like around that time, all they looked at us was like kind of for fast speed rapping, like Twista. I know you're familiar with Twista.
Of course,
you know, Chicago, Crucial Convict, that's all we was on. So it wasn't really no lyrical punchline metaphor type guys that really came from that city. Until they kind of seen me on battling. So I kind of like blindsided a lot of people.
That's interesting, because I forget about Twista, because he's Chicago, ain't he?
Yeah, he's Chicago, man. He put it on for us, man. He did a lot. Like, so you know what I mean? I'm actually recording at a Twista studio not too long ago, man. I see the guy. He always showed me love. And one thing I found out, Twista was a battle rapper first.
I didn't have a doubt. Honestly, the way he attacks the mic.
Yeah. No, I didn't know, but man, he was just telling me, like, yo, Big T, I used to battle around the city of Chicago. I'm like, bro, I didn't know. You know what I mean? I ain't know it went back that far, you know? So Chicago always was an untapped market. know, it was dangerous, so people wouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
But the talent was there.
And also the musicalities there. I remember playing there. I did a couple of gigs. What is the big, what's the big main venue in Chicago? It was almost like a theater.
Like it's a United Center. It's a couple. We got a lot of venues.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you do. Venues.
So we got House of Blues, United Center, Airy Crown Theater.
I think it's a United Center, man. I think it's
United Center is the one. That's the big one. That's the one. That's where Michael Jordan played at.
Right. Okay. So I played there with a drum and bass. It was a drum and bass event. And
oh, that's dope.
Oh, bro, I swear to God, for America that doesn't often, you know, rave music, drum and bass, jungle music doesn't often connect. Chicago had it. Every time we saw Chicago on the lineup, we're like, yeah, we're going to Chicago because it's popping.
Yeah, you know, because Chicago got like a real like house scene, like a real good dance scene, you know?
Yeah.
So we very musically inclined. We kind of like stuff with a good feel, you know, so I could see that working, especially if y'all was at the United Center, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, these things with Chicago especially, you know, there's obviously there's Common, there's ID and Doug Infinite. They were another big staple around there back in like the mid
idea.
Yeah.
Idea.
ID. Doug Infinite. ID? Yeah. Back in the day. He kind of came through. Common Kane kind of came through with that geek. That
was it around? Was it around like the? How long ago was this?
93, 94. Back.
Oh yeah, that's a little past my time. I'm just picking up the mic around that time.
So how old are you, brother? What's your age?
I'm 34.
I'm clearly showing my age.
No, I'm 34, man. I'm old. I'm an old guy.
You're not, man. I'm telling you, like. How did it all begin? How did it begin? Because for the fans out there, particularly the URL fans, it's like, again, this thing, it's just an organism. It's its own world, but you never get really into the details of the individuals in it. So when did it begin with you, brother?
All right, man. Like as far as battle and period of battle.
No, it's earlier than that. Earlier than that. What was your upbringing? How was South Side of Chicago back in the day? What's the...
Man, Chicago, man. All right, man. Listen, Chicago was a city where you had to choose a side. You know what I mean? Like, but me, I never did. You know what I mean? Like, I've always had my own, like, could y'all still see me?
Yeah, I can still see you.
All right. I always had my own, like, you know, way of thinking, my own vibe, but I always never been worried about other niggas. So I always stood up for myself, if that's what it, if that mean anything. And I got my respect in that field. So I had to learn to become a man early in the streets. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that being said, before you can even do that, before they even let you rap, they gotta respect you. You know what I mean? Chicago is such a rough city. They're not even listening to you if they don't believe nothing you talking about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you kind of had to go through something in order to even rhyme. But anyway, I always kind of like, you know, it was always like gang culture around my city. And I had to basically learn it for survival. You know, I had to know where I was going, which neighborhood not to be in, you know, like all type of stuff. You know, I had to run with a certain crew. You feel me? Like, it's just growing up. But battle rap, I promise you, it saved my life, literally. Like, it was something like, you know, battle rap is nothing you get paid for. You know what I'm saying? Like back then, but we bet it, we gambled on it. Mm-hmm. And it was just all about... It was a let go. It was an escape, man. It was escape. I always looked to see who was the best around, and I wanted to come and take them out, you know? And I just didn't stop in Chicago. I wanted to go all over the world. And just to backtrack back to where I was at, man, all right, my first battle ever, I didn't even know I was in a battle, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was shining in a cypher. I was actually in school, and one of my boys was like, man, he heard me rap one day, but I was nervous to get actually rap at the lunch table. Like, man, nah, I don't rap for real, but I knew how to do it because it's some talent I always kept to myself and put it away. But high school, I just let it out. It was kind of like a, you know, and then as I'm letting it out, the people around me started kind of circling around the table. And then the guy, one of the guys started dissing me. Like, you fat piece of da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like.
Oh, it's going down.
I dissed him back. Oh, he dissed me. I dissed him back. Oh, he dissed me. But now he beating me. I lose. But I liked it. You know what I mean? I didn't feel, I like, damn, I did all this on my first one. So I came back. I came back to that table the next day. And I killed the nigga. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I killed him.
Yeah.
And it never stopped from me. And that hunger to always go at the best, it never stopped from me. And then it was a point where, all right, let's say now I battle a lot of people in Chicago. I'm fast-forwarding the story a little bit. Like, I went from block to block, and this is the time it's dangerous. Like, I'm battling on other people's blocks, like, mid-battle, guns dropping. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're going so great. Like, so this is the hostile environments I'm into. Yeah. So it's nothing for me to go to another city and battle somebody else. Cause I'm battling somebody in a room, and we might could die. You know what I mean? Like, like people be like, "Is that real?" Like, yo, we might could die here because they don't like what we saying, and ain't nobody getting checked. You feel what I'm saying? So I had to battle in those environments. Till one day I met Bizarre from D12.
Woo!
He was at a studio. He was at a studio, one of our mutual friends' studios, and he said something. We came in there, me and my boy Prince Lord. At this time, we Quiet Money. We got us a little buzz around Chicago, and we remember Miles and X Factor from the Smack DVDs. And we came to Bizarre like, we want to battle Miles and X Factor. Bizarre looked at us like, who are y'all? Who have y'all battled? At that time, I didn't know what he meant. Because I'm like, I'm from Chicago. I battled everybody in Chicago. Yeah. I battled everybody.
But yeah. I've been around the block. So
$3, we Murder Mook, you got to battle these type of guys at this time. You see what I'm saying? So, but they was about to fly me in to get that battle. At that time, I realized I wasn't ready for them. Like, you know, it's a blessing that it probably didn't work out like that for me. I probably would have had Miles and X Factor just killing me, and you know what I mean? That'd be all you know of Big T, but it didn't work out like that. Next, you know, Bizarre, we separate ways. A year or so later, you know, he reaches back out like, yo, Big T, I got a battle coming up. I'm like, where's it going to be at? He's like, in Detroit. I'm like, no, battle outside of Chicago. But I'm like, I'm looking back in Chicago, like, it ain't nothing but beef and all type of stuff going on back here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was the only glimpse of light I seen at the time. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So
I know exactly what you mean. But
you know what I mean. I feel you. You know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
That's the only glimpse of light I seen. I went for it.
Yeah.
We went out there on the road to Detroit, and this time in Detroit, this ain't the Detroit where it was a fly zone. This was no fly zone Detroit. Trick Trick at his prime when they was, you know, Young Bird just had the whole situation. You know, this was that time.
Damn. So
we from Chicago. It's no love for us.
It's already a problem.
It's already a beef. We share the same 94. We two major cities at this time.
That's right.
We don't get along, pretty much. We went up there. You know, we went up there prepared for whatever, you know. And Bizarre had us in a battle. He had me and my boy Prince Lord. And Prince Lord battled Calico.
Talk to me about that feeling, being in a hostile place where you know it ain't, you know, it was hard enough in Chicago going from block to, from, you know, block to block and area to area. Now you're in in the Dragon's
Lair. Another hostile place. Yeah. But unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
It's a hostile environment mixed with unfamiliar territory. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we figuring these niggas out. We looking at these niggas with glasses on and we like, yo, what? Yo, they think they fly. My boy Mo like, yo, they think they fly in these glasses. You know how Detroit, they wear the buffs. They got called buffs where, you know, white buff. It's some fresh shit. I fuck with it too, but that's a long story. I'll let you talk to the Detroit person about that. But we had to be detailed. So we 20 some deep and we not from there. That's automatically a red flag to them. So they looking at us, we looking at them. They like, you know, we know they strap, they know we strap. You feel me? It's one of those. And then next thing you know, we'll get rough. My boy Prince Lord Mama say, we got 1,500 on us.
Ah, shit.
Detroit, we got 1,500. This Calico now at this time, this young Calico, like before he was the Calico we know today, like this is when he was dead in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Million rock bottom nigga. Like it was crazy. Blackface out, his pops, he's still out. Bizarre right here. It was just a wild chaos. So they putting up their money. Next thing you know, I remember Marv One. See, at this time, Marv One was just, you know, shout out to Marv One. He's at the champ, fighting for championship of the tournament. Salute to him. I'm rooting for him. But Marv One was like, nigga, that's a Regal, man. Y'all battling for cars. Like, you see what I'm saying? We be battling for car money down here, you know? But anyway, the battle went so crazy, man. Lord went, Calico went, and it was so crazy and so much tension. It was a fight about to break out. Mm-hmm. Bizarre was like, man, this is my event. We ain't gonna fuck this shit up. These my people, split the money.
Really? Because it got so hot.
And Bizarre did that. That's what made me get way more respect for him. Because he made sure his people was good in the city where it was hot. You know what I mean? So I respect that situation. Now I battle. My next battle come up. I go battle. And this is the first time I ever write a battle down. Like, I was running around Chicago freestyle battling people.
Shit. What, so you would, right, see, we'll get into this in a minute. Keep the story roll, because I need to get into that too.
So my first Chicago, I was going around freestyling. My people was writing. I was just freestyling on the spot, kind of like, you know, like, it was more relevant, so that's what got the attention of the crowd.
That's right.
So that's how I was able to beat a lot of people. It wasn't no camera, so the playback, how was people going to see if you was really saying a letter, metaphor, or anytime? But anyway, I say that to say this. Now I got to write a battle, so I have no structure. You know what I mean? Yeah. I never wrote a battle in my life, so punchline, what's a punch? You know what I mean?
What's an in rhyme?
I don't like this. I was writing shit down. Like, I don't like saying like after everything. Like this. Yeah, I would say, you would have thought instead of saying like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I switched it up. I was like, man, you would have thought we was cable wire the way we ran through his whole crib. Like, you say shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, I'd have ran through your whole crib like cable wire. It's not the same effect. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel. And then it worked, man. Like even like the LeBron James, the remains of her. They loved it then. So after that, that's what got me on. That got me to meet Miles. Then Miles brought me back out to Detroit. Young Miles. So now me and Miles never battle. Now Miles look at me like, yo, Chicago-Detroit connection. We about to do this, and we going to go back out there to smack. What's up? You see what I mean? So, yeah. So we get together, Chicago-Detroit. We throw this crazy Lions Den battle. This is my first time being introduced to the internet where I got on Worldstar. We did the Lions Den battle. Loaded Lux got up with Young Miles. This is when I battled some dude named H.I. Croft at the time. And I kill him. Like, I beat H.I. Croft like crazy. Like, I can't explain it. And that's when I started getting my little buzz on World Star and people start wanting to battle me and shit like that, you know?
World Star really is the entry point for a lot of people to discover new shit.
Yeah, yeah. Then now, not so much.
Now it's like
parody, jokey, but back then you could get broke off Worlds. Know what I mean? Like somebody could see on World Star, now I'm a fan. Like I got people that see me freestyle on World Star and now they still follow me to this day.
Yeah, yeah. The loyalty factor back then with a platform like that, 100%. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, man. So that after that World Star little battle I had, battle rap slowed down again for a little minute. I'm back in the Chicago. Life is life.
What was the date on that, T?
It was in the summer, man. And that event was crazy. A story in itself. So, I got to... You don't mind, do you?
Come on, man.
We going now. This is the big Chicago versus Detroit battle. If you look at our weigh-ins, if that is even... on World Star still, Calico is saying some of the most disrespectful shit about Chicago. Like, fuck Chicago. Shit. Y'all some bitches. And we go back at Calico and them. And, you know, at this time, World Star telling us, so we getting messages on World Star, y'all come up here, we gonna kill y'all.
You see
what I'm saying? But at this time, you know, we like, yo, you know what I'm saying?
It's getting real.
But people trying to kill us at home. At least this is an opportunity to go to the next level. So I weighed my options and I went to Detroit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
You feel me? So I'm gone. Boom. We go out there. We ride to Detroit. We load up. We like got to be at least 30 deep, man. About 4, 5, 6 cars.
Oh, shit.
And then our GPS turns us into like the Canadian border.
Oh shit! You took the wrong left.
You know what we got?
You took the wrong left, boy.
We took the wrong left, and the Canadian border. We drove past the thing, man. We were so nervous in that van. Like, bro, if they pull us over this van, I never make it to Battleland. Mm-hmm. I never do nothing. I was about to chalk it up. I was about to say, look, I'm about to say, if this gets stopped right now, this was like to me and my brain. Yeah. I still remember this moment, like. If this stop us right now, it's not meant for me to be. If I go on to it's meant for me to do this. You know what I mean? My boy, he was about to throw the gun in between the car and the panel.
I know what you're talking about.
But it's an X-ray thing right here. So we was like, no, don't do it. He didn't do it. He kept it on him, man. Thank God that saved us. So when they snapped the picture, nothing's there. We get right through. Now, here we come. We got a battle. Already just did that. Now I got to practice and remember my rhymes.
Yeah.
Go on stage and perform for this shit. And
that's crazy.
Same guys that been threatening me on the internet, I got a battle in front of them with no fear. You feel me?
Shit,
so
bro.
Here we go. We do it. It turns out good. And then URL get born. I get a call from Norbs.
Mm-hmm.
He say, I want you to battle Hollow the Don.
This was the big one.
No. You got to think about it. This is a preview. I was supposed to battle Hollow the Don, my first battle ever. But Hollow backed out on me the last minute.
Oh, like, shit. So this was early?
Okay. Yes, it's the first URL battle ever because Yahalo was like, URL is new.
Mm-hmm.
URL is new. URL is new. And I was too new for him at this time, which I respect now. But then I didn't respect it because, bro, we wrote. You agree we wrote and that's the last minute and you backing out on me. You know what I'm saying? But... Nor say, hey, Big T, you could either back, you could wait for him, or you could battle somebody else coming up. And I'm like this, you got one shot. Do not miss your chance.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Give me
Deacon Frost. Let me battle Deacon Frost. So I battled Deacon Frost, and then after that, it'd be history.
Who else was around at that time with URL being so early?
You,
so
me, Cortez, X Factor, Young Miles, Me Cortez, X Factor, Young Miles, Mav Hoffa, Rich Dollars, and T Rex. Hold on, 7. So that means it's one more battle to make 8. If Deacon Frost, yeah, that's the 8th battle. So it was 4 battles that night. Not to mention the same night, it was like a grind time battle with Head Ice versus Quest McCody. So that same exact day, New York had a lot of battles going on. Like,
yeah,
I seen everybody that day for the first time. Murder Mook, Cassidy, Arsenal. This is like my first time ever, like, being around the other battlers that's in my class now. That was like, you know, it was like I just got in there, like the last of the class. Like, I just made it. Like,
And you know what's poetic about it all is that the trials and tribulations that led the story, the backstory right here that led to this point, it reads like a book. Like all the classic symptoms that make a person want to go that extra mile to establish themselves and be successful, that tenacity, that desire, and all the risky roads that, you know, go around blocks in Chicago, knowing full well that you could get killed by the words you say. That's not a lot of people can build up their armor like that, you know.
Right.
Or if they do, they don't. The attack that you had at that time, now I'm starting to understand. I'm like, yo, you went through so much heavy shit to hone your craft. Crazy.
Yeah, just to get there, just to even like, so when they see me and they look at Big T, like, this didn't come from nowhere.
Nah.
Like, this is years of sacrificing and traveling and, you know, going without, you know what I mean? To get.
But one thing I do find interesting about, and I did stop you halfway through the conversation. I didn't mean to, effectively, but I do feel like, yo, like if you were freestyling up to that point, I mean, I'm sure there were elements to it that you took to the URL and you took on, you know, furthering down the road of pre-written. But, and I might add as well, there's so much technical, mental acquirement you need to deliver bars, even with pre-written. But with freestyle, like you say, it's a crowd, a participational thing, isn't it? Like someone could be holding up a red scarf and you're just like, talk about the red scarf. And then,
yeah,
you know, don't you think that maybe some of those elements could have been applicable at the early URL that maybe could have influenced the whole thing?
That's the thing that I could think about, you know, but freestyling around that time wasn't so popular, but it could have been popular, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was freestyling, I just didn't say I'm freestyling, you know what I mean? Like, I never made it noticeable, you know, like, if I had a point where it was like, to get to another point, I freestyle this, add that, but I didn't trust it enough to go full-fledged with it, which I should have trusted it enough, you know? But I was just also thinking, like, yo, let me put my best foot forward, and I felt my best foot forward was writing, you know?
For sure. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a couple of instances between you and also like the original guys, the legacy holders like yourself, where you sense that they are, because the relevance in what they're saying is so immediate and around them, but then they get into the pre-written and the rest is history. And I love the fact that what the pre-written allows people to do is script things with so many in-words and arguably you guys have created your own language, bro.
It's almost to the point like, man, like you'll be lost if you just jump into it right now. Like somebody will jump into it right now and be like, I don't like this. But if you really understood the history behind where it's at right now, you would get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll get it. Why is this? And you'll kind of accept why it's like the way it is right now. You know, you'll still be a fan of the climate of it today.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit like reggae music or hip hop itself. It's like sometimes if you the cultural history is almost too much for some people. It's like listening to a jazz record and you're like, hold on, why, what? You know, because you're late to the party. But if you really delve deep and get into it, you do find the papyrus of, like, you know, the scriptures of how, you know, and where
right,
where the story begins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And it's one thing about me too. I want to kind of go back into the sounds like jazz and stuff like that to kind of, sure, because every time it comes on, it touches me. But I'm so young to what it is, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me too. I feel that way with certain genres. It can be quite intimidating. You know what I mean? You can get in. You can be down with it, but I think it's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to put yourself into that position. Like, if it's jazz, you've got to be in that downstairs moody blues bar,
mm-hmm,
where the smoke is and people are smoking cigars with their trilby hats. You need
you
to
gotta
feel
get
like
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you understand, the people that really love jazz, they live that jazz era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we live in a hip-hop era, so I really feel hip-hop. Like, I know, you know what I mean? Like, but the people that live that era, they really, like, they don't want nothing else but that.
That's right. Chicago House, very similar as well.
For sure. You know?
For sure. Reggae, you've got to put yourself into those places, that mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's easily achievable, but you've got to open. It takes a creative mind. Mm-hmm. When you turn around and say, I'll split your head open with bunny ears, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, some people are just like, hang on a minute. But you have to find the poetry within that. What defines that? You know, I'll leave your brain like Chex Mix, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Verse
you've got to,
yeah, have his brains looking like Chex Mix.
Yeah. But for real, like, over here in the UK, we don't have Chex Mix. But
Oh, man.
But here's the thing. I know Chex Mix because I've been to the States and shit. And also, you can get them on import and stuff. But it makes people want to go and find out what that thing is.
Uh-huh.
There's people out there that are completely, like, because emceeing, every bar holds relevance. And if you don't feel like you know what that relevance is, you're the one that ain't cool enough. You got to go and find it.
Right, exactly. That's why it's a lot of bars when somebody be like, yo, that's weak. And I'd be like, you probably didn't get it, but I don't, my bad.
That's okay. Yeah, you're good.
I don't explain it to them.
Mm.
I let them figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
So if they find out, oh, I was being ignorant, they have to deal with that. And in their brain, that makes me bigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I let them figure it out. I'm never gonna explain my punchlines to them.
Yeah.
You know? But one thing I will say, I never say nothing for nothing. Like, it's something in there. Like, I'm gonna connect something to something. Even if you take my rhymes and then break them one day when people have the time and wherever, 20 years from now, 10 years, when you break down my lyrics, you'll see the actual genius of it.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, how did that rhyme and it don't rhyme? Like, I've learned from going to different cities now that, like, you know, different words. Like, now that I've been to the UK, I know I could twist some words in a way the UK people say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now
it rhymes for me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
That's the beauty of hip-hop and this shit, man. Like, you know, it helps you. It can help you a long way, man. It could change your mind with this stuff, man. It's an expression form. It's no right way to rap, you know?
Yeah.
It's no right way to do it.
And your style, which I think is what you've brought early to the game, was a cadence and a humor. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's humor to what you did.
Because you know, it's a funny violence. Like, you know, like, so he just got smacked in the back of the head. You know, not to say just that, but the funniness is, like, you know, the serious. It's a seriousness.
Yeah,
when you look somebody dead in the face and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he tripping. And that's what kind of makes it funny. And that's kind of something I like doing. Cause I'm funny because I'm serious. Like I say, grind time was something you used to have your nose chunky as Doug Funny. And I'd be like, that's why grind time wasn't funny. Cause that wasn't funny. I'd rather laugh at the thought of a nigga trying to take something from me. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather say that to you. But it's funny because it's serious. But that's what an example of what I mean by serious, funny type rhymes.
Yeah. It's playing serious.
Yeah.
Essentially. And you standing on stage, I mean, I think it falls in line in classic theatrical, you know, your whole demeanor, your the way you to strike, the strike in the eyes, man, alone. It's like you're just like on them, you know what I mean? And towards at the start, the early battles, and this is the other thing I like about legacy holders like yourself that have such a journey. You could really see yourself. I mean, the K-Shine as an example, you know, by which time URL was really kind of taking form and like the cameras were a lot more moving and all that business. But it was like you were screaming out there, doing it. You were fucking, it was almost like you were growing with them. It was like your performance and shit was just flames, man.
Yeah. Growing with them, man. We grew together. You know what I mean? That's a league that I kind of got like a little attachment to because it's like we grew together. That was the y'all first actual whole battle show. I know it was Smack DVD before URL.
That's right.
But when y'all never had a whole event dedicated to battles before URL.
Pay-per-view, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So Smack, this is a new thing. And I just was around to see it grow from no stage to the main stage to the big stage to the corporate stage. You know what I mean?
It went corporate. What's your favorite league? What's your favorite? Like
my favorite is still URL. It's my most competition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's my most competitive. And I like it because, you know, it's still when you do a battle on URL, the whole streets know. Then, you know, right now, you know, since the app is out, well, they got Caffeine now. So the people know now with Caffeine. But when it was just like app battles, you know, people don't see me as much anymore now that they don't drop the battles on YouTube.
Yeah.
But URL is my favorite. My second gotta be kind of like King of the Dot. I like King of the Dot too. Third, Don't Flop.
Hold tight.
Don't Flop, but Don't Flop like the UK. Let me talk about the UK. I love the UK. And you know what's so funny about the UK? The UK loves me. I'm battling the US. In the US, you gotta say I'm the bad guy in the US. I go in the room, it's silent, like silent in a we respect you, but we want you dead type way. Like when the Undertaker walks in the room or some shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but they don't take pictures with me. They love me afterwards, but right now you're the Undertaker. You know
what I'm saying?
I understood that, but when in UK, we love you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not used to this treatment over here, y'all. You know what I'm saying, y'all got. And I love when I say some shit, boop, 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 boop.
All day.
You know what I'm saying? That's right up my alley. The gun sounds, you know.
Yeah.
So when they be doing that, I love it. You know.
Yeah, man. Listen, listen for real. Like, as you say about the hip hop DNA and how. You know, it transcends the US, it's worldwide, it's international, and there's a tapestry that's attached where you could probably sit in any city in Europe, you know, as yourself and be accounted for, looked after, taken care, you know, you got homies there, you got friends that would, you
know.
So the UK, particularly with Don't Flop, it gave it such, it amplified everything that you guys were doing and it made it a quote unquote household. Do you know what I mean? Like people know rap battling because of the three. Yeah. And also, you know.
And URL. Yeah, because at least, like, don't fuck, the UK people watch URL too.
Oh, damn,
you
know, yeah.
They watch King of the Dot too, so.
Yeah. For sure.
But the thing I also liked about UK, it was some people in the UK that didn't care about US battles. And it's to a point, I kind of liked it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got to have that sense of pride for yourself to a point, you know, because we like that with everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, we kind of be listening to our own shit. Right now, it's opening where we listening and more to like y'all stuff with the beats and all that stuff. Like, but back, you know, but I kind of like that. Don't Flop got their own crowd. Well, look, we only listen to UK battles.
You also, I mean, you fuck with grime as well, don't you? Like, you real, like, you're a real fan of grime too.
I went over there. See, and they started putting me on shit like Section Boys. I started running and Skepta. And these guys was like, I don't know if anybody necessarily put me on, but I remember being like, okay, I'm going out here for the UK for the first time. First of all, if anybody know me, I think the reason why they started liking me because I started trolling the UK first before I even came out there.
Like, doing some intel. Like,
trolling them. I'm like, oh, man. Like what's over there? Amsterdam? Like they was laughing at me. I was thinking, like, does he think Amsterdam is in London? Like, you know what I mean? So I'm just like basically saying, I don't know what's over there. That's how I was treating it. Like,
I was embracing
the American asshole, the stereotype. You know what I mean?
But really,
I know what's going on. So
of course.
I'm getting now. I'm learning the Section Boys. I'm hearing Skepta. It ain't safe on the block. Not even for the cops. It ain't safe for no. I don't know the words all the time, but I just know the bounce.
That's right.
The bounce is crazy. I'm like, oh, man. And then I'm playing this for a couple of my people, and they like it. So I'm like, this is good music. So with that being said, I need to get in this genre a little bit for people to know about it. But Drake ass tapped into it already. He started working with the Section Boys.
Gigs.
Bizarre got a song with Gigs.
For real? Oh.
Bizarre and Gigs got a song. Ooh. I think I'm in that video too.
Oh, stop it. Hold on. Nah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Is it Gigs? Bizarre got a song mixed well with halitosis with eggs and toast.
Comments below. Tell us what's good. What's good for those you just joining us with Big T inside the place, holding it down. Come on, son.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But all those guys, man, I like it, man. They need to stick with that shit, man. And I wish more would come over to the U.S., but you know we're going through Corona right now, so ain't nobody coming over.
Yeah. The lyrical the information that goes into a battle rap bar, do you think we were talking about how the in words, the in jokes, the terminology and the slang, is that reflecting also on UK battle rappers? I mean, I know that might be an obvious question, but for somebody that is American listening in, do you guys take certain elements of what battle rappers in the UK are saying within their bars? And, you know,
Are we saying some is now UK influencing some US battles?
Yeah. It's not a trick question either.
not 100%. Well, I can't say that. You know,
this is an international thing, right?
So different. The accents are so different. It's kind of hard to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps kinda, like, because
rap, it's kind of hard to rap like a UK guy without being a UK guy. Like, Shoddy Horror. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of the blend that style. But Shoddy.
What did he do that was so different, bro? Because, like, when man, I.
We liked him. We liked him.
Yes. What we did Shoddy do?
Shoddy, he was an asshole. He's a battle rapper. He's a character.
Yeah.
You know, he's a character. Sure. We fuck y'all. I love the guy. We don't like you, but all right, we kind of like you. We don't like you though, but we like you. You know what I'm saying?
We
respect you. The fact that you come in your own way. You tough. This is the North. We fuck with that.
Embrace
the North. Yeah. He said that. I thought I was watching Games of Thrones. I said the North.
You know what I think some of it is as well? I think like some of it is he breaks down he really does pace what he says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's really, really all about the impact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think for the narrative of America,
we understand what he's saying. Yeah. He's clearer. Like we just understand him. Like he's more universal. See, some people might have a mistake like Tony D. He might be too UK.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So UK that US don't understand them.
That's right.
Like, I caught how nice Tony D was when I really went to UK and I really was in the bits. You feel me? I had to go to the bits.
South London,
somewhere. Yeah. Eating Coca-Cola sweets.
Oh, you was really in the bits.
Somewhere, you know what I'm saying? I had to get the feel. But I was out there, man, you know, and, he just a hood. London, you know what I mean? Until he able to into the world on our side either understands him or he translated for us, then they probably would like him more. But other than that, right now, Shotty just is more universal than everybody.
Gemini next.
Gemini, we like Gemini too. Gemini hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me what specifically about G.
Gemini was the one that was able to do the punching style as hard as Americans and also be lyrical UK. But he also got this hood element about himself that's kind of like street, like, hey man, he ain't no pussy. You feel me? So
we
like that about my man's I battled him too. Gemini.
Yeah. What's the because you know you've had Shotgun Shug, Disaster, obviously we just spoke about Kay. You know, this goes on for Hollow the Don. Like you've battled like some of the greats.
For sure.
What's the feeling when you get into the arena and I'm gonna put you in the place, all right? So you're there.
Yeah.
You got a whole backline of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's animosities on certain levels. There's intensity on other levels, and you've worked your bars throughout the whole of the period, the timeline. How are you going to do it? You've also got to consider what they're going to come at you with.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the people's favorite? Whereabouts in the world you're
playing? All that.
All of this stuff. You know, you've got 10 minutes before you go on, and you know you're going to be battling one of these guys. What's going through your mind in those 10 minutes before?
10 minutes before is hell. I ain't gonna lie, man. The pressure they pay me for is the day before. I'm telling you. For some reason, the 24 hours before I actually get on the stage, the last 10 minutes, I'm probably good. Like 10 minutes, I'm probably in a dog mode now.
Okay,
I'm in a mode where it's like it's ready to fight. I'm ready to kill you because.
What are you listening to? What are you listening to in the backstage? What's going on in your head? If there's a song that epitomized, what would you listen to get fucking aggressive on? What's the thing that you're doing?
First of all, I'm going somewhere away from everybody. I don't want to talk to nobody. My friends that come to me with a battle, they know. You would think I'm an asshole them 24 hours, them 48 hours before the battle. Like how I'm nice and cool right now. 48 hours for the battle, I'm nothing like this because I know everything is on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The lights is on me. If anything fuck up, no matter what I did, I have no excuse. People want me to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very don't want to be distracted. I want to go over my lines. I'm looking at this person so much. I've said this shit 1,000 times in my head. Yeah. I said them in front of my people. I messed up probably 40 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? Oh, third round. Like, you know, like, but, you know, it's crazy. Mm. It's like that. Like, damn, do I got the second round locked in like that? Do I got the third round locked in like that?
Oh, shit. Ooh.
This first good though. Man, they might not like this second. They might not like this third, but they might love this third. Man, fuck that. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? This is your game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
fuck,
I do.
Man, who is this? Man, he can't beat me. Man, he been on the roll. Yeah, he been kind of nice. He can't fuck with you. You know, this is what's going on in your brain.
Like two heads. Like you've got monkeys on either side telling you this and telling you that in your head. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't fuck with you. Man, he might be all right. He gonna be super prepared. Man, like, but the best way to go in the battle is lose all respect for the opponent.
Like ground level, base level, on the floor.
Take this guy down for what he does. All right, what's his name? That means nothing. Who did he battle? Watch. What's his skill set? What does he got? He ain't that funny. He punch. He not that lyrical. He's not entertaining. He usually only had 2 rounds. You know what I'm saying? You gotta really
Do you coach that in your head? Like what are the
I had to teach myself that. That's why I was able to always battle somebody with a bigger name and more fame than me at the time and beat them because I took it away from them. And I just battled for face value. And you can't fuck with me. You see what I'm saying? That's just how I feel. And if I feel you can fuck with me, then you might fuck with me. Yeah. But as long as I'm battling, I just can't feel you can fuck with me.
Yeah. And I see, this is the thing as well. Actually, before we get into this bit, what I was going to say, just to follow on from what you were saying there, what happens from the flip side? So you've just body bagged a fucking bar and it went straight. It was like an uppercut and the crowd go spastic. They fucking go mental. They go crazy. And you're just like mid flow. And that, cause you know, that's what happens in these arenas. Like people, they take no prisoners. The crowd are as vicious as the battlers.
The crowd is vicious. You know what it kind of reminds me of back in the day? Battle rap is the safer version of like gladiator shit, like gladiator type.
Oh.
Man, no, I feel like a gladiator when I'm in that shit. Like when it's real arena, we want blood.
Yeah,
it's like that. That's how I feel when I'm down there.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's like a war of words, but these people want blood. We want a body.
Yeah,
like, it's almost like if you're getting killed, the crowd is gonna kill you.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Now we're gonna kill you because you're getting killed.
I think I also get excited when, and this is just my personal experiences. Like I've been into hip hop for a long time. And again, you know, it's built into me for these things to be quite technical. And then I'm like, yo, that was sick.
Right.
But even in the most, I'm still trying to catch up with your last bar, but then it's almost like the crowd, they're way ahead of you. And sometimes they even chant your bars back at you.
Yes.
And I don't know, man, to be to be present watching it is like, I've got to rewind. I'm going to rewind that back a second.
Right.
They're crazy.
They're kind of with you, man, because they would have liked the bar so much, they kept it. You got to see, a lot of people that watch this stuff is like rappers. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of battle fans is in the crowd are people that actually rap.
So you're in the Lion's Den, bro.
What'd you say?
You're in the Lion's Den.
Exactly. So they're judging you from a different perspective. Like, you got to impress me. Like, I'm a rapper myself. If I paid a ticket to see you, you got to rap real good.
Yeah.
Not just like me. You got to rap great.
Yeah. That shit's... And again, that just heightens the intensity of like, yo. What's it like once you've... one. And because, I don't know, I think very much like gladiators, part of the art is to not be too bogged down with if you've won. It's almost like you live to fight another day, essentially.
Yeah.
Quite a scary thought,
fight,
isn't it?
Back then, it was too, like right now, is you live to fight another day, but I was at the gladiator time where you is do or die, like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from an era where you won, loss, we don't want to ever see your face again.
Oh, shit.
You see what I'm saying? Like, right now, it's different with YouTube. It's a little different. Now. It's kind of hard to think. How was it like that? But then, we don't even want to see you if you lose.
Mm. Mm.
So, you had to have that barbaric attitude, that cutthroat mentality versus your opponent. I'm not even friends with nobody until I battle.
Wow. So you don't even like, talk to them. You don't
like nothing. Everybody you see me with, like, other than probably T-Top, Calico, which is, you know, I didn't become cool with them until I battled them. You know what I mean? Because everything is potential ammunition. They might say it. They might not say it. If you seen the movie Body that I was in, you will see it was one part that was kind of real, like how these people said, like, man, I'll never say that about you. But when the battle came down to it,
they did.
He used it. That's cause you become a slave to the crowd. And you don't want to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's
even
so
though
real.
You have a beat, prepare to play it safe. If it's not going your way, the devil gonna come out.
So they will use it as ammo, essentially. They will use whatever you're saying to them. So on the lead up, for instance, you could be boys with somebody, but if you know you're going into a battle, they will use that. Even if the crowd don't know what you're talking about, he's just trying to break you down.
Yeah, just to break. Let me example, Charlie Clips. I battled Charlie Clips. Even though Charlie Clips was, before I battled him, was we was cool, but we became friends after I battled him.
Right.
But before, like, you know, he was. I remember, like, yo, going to. He went to a chicken restaurant, and he went and bought some chicken for me. And I was like, "Yeah, get it for me. I'll pay you back when you get here." During the battle, that's when he asked me for my money.
Oh shit!
No, sick. He's a sick man. During
that's
the battle,
fucked. That's
he asked, yo, Big T, could I get that $10 from that chicken earlier? I say, yo. What is? Hey, it was luckily it was some dude right here. Like, nah, Big T, stay focused.
Yeah,
I'm like, you right. I mean, that was a blessing, but it was almost like, but that was a prime. That was just an example of it. Like, you know, it wasn't deep, but it was. You would see, like, even something that small, would come back to the game. Like, yeah, but yeah, it's crazy, bro.
That shit is. It's amazingly fucked up. It's like
amazingly fucked up, but funny as shit.
Funny as shit.
It's funny in hindsight, but it's fucked up.
It's fucked up. And it's those sorts of things that draws appeal. So after your K-Shine, am I right in saying that 50 Cent labeled you his favorite rap battler?
This is when he did it publicly. Been new. Since the Hitman Holla battle,
right?
When I battled Hitman, right. But publicly is when he first he never co-signed no rapper before. Like, he didn't co-sign no rapper, so for him to co-sign a battle rapper and me from Chicago, it was like kind of like crazy. Because I remember the people hit me up like, "Boy, 50 just did some interview about you, man. It's gonna be crazy. Get ready." I'm like, what y'all talking about? I'm like, you know, Then I seen it, I'm like, yo, that's some wild shit, man. You know, I've many men, you know, who is death upon me. I live that. I remember being around listening to 50 growing up. So
blew your mind, right?
For him to say that, let me tell y'all one more story. When I first met him, and Bizarre from D12 was on this little tour run. You know, we was doing this Lace Blunts tour, and we stopped in New York. And then he was, like, in the room. He was, like, in the studio, not a studio room, it's a meme room. This is where he played some of his music for me. Uh-huh. And he was like, he saw me through the window. And he was like, that's my motherfucking nigga right there. That's my nigga right there. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
I love it.
He say, what the fuck am I fighting for? I got that Chilaka Boo with me. Boo-boo with me. I'm like, this nigga 50 Cent saying my raps.
Oh my God. Your head must have blown for it.
I walked in a room 50 saying my raps. You know what I mean?
You grew up with him all this time. You grew up with him all this time, reversing his rhymes. And all exactly. of a sudden.
So, man, after that, man, you know, he always show love. I always show love back, man. Every time I go to New York, 50 got something going on. I'm always welcome to it. He come to Chicago. He always lay out the red carpet. You know, All-Star Weekend in Chicago. He was flying me bottles last year. You feel me? Oh, and I rock with him, man. He a good dude, man. He shared his platform. That's all I ask. You know, I can't be mad at nobody that shared their platform with me.
That's right.
Exactly.
The battle scene, and I can only see it from a beatbox point of view, and the times that I spent with the more, like you say, the more the table sitters, the people that have, you know, they've made good, uh-huh. and they're established.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to beatboxing, there's a place in an artist's not just rappers but artist's heart in hip hop when they see battle rappers being really fucking, it's almost like a training ground for them as artists. They know exactly what goes into making battle rappers. They know the skill set. They mm-hmm. and they admire that skill set.
Mm-hmm.
That harks back from an early hip hop era, and mm-hmm. they can see how far the scene's come, and they see someone like yourself that is entrenched. You're in the trenches. You're mm-hmm. on the front line of where perhaps they arguably wish they were.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, and yeah. like so it that must have been really rewarding for you personally as well as for the scene to have had someone. And like him, and also I think Drake's done the co-sign thing.
Yeah, Drake definitely did. Drake, man, Drake. I got so much respect for Drake because he's always been supportive with battle rap.
For sure.
And I always kind of diss Drake in my battles when he's around, but it's more of a love, showing love. Like you diss the best in the room. Like I don't mean as far as that. Like if he's the hottest, considered the hottest hip hop artist and hottest rapper. As a battler, you're supposed to go with him. You know what I mean? You're supposed to. It's the game. It's hip hop. It's the culture. So I feel like it'd be a disservice not to do it. But to me, it's always all love with Drizzy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. You pay the cost to be the boss, isn't that?
For sure. Yeah, heavier head weighs the crown, man.
Oh my God, yeah. And nothing that weighs true more than that, those sentiments, because. Yeah, again, in those arenas, you know, you get started getting co-signed by people and, you know, like it's an outsourced pressure, isn't it? It's not like in the arena pressure. All of a sudden, it's like...
it's a whole nother pressure. So I got co-signed by 50 and I'm not going to lie. I feel like I got more hate coming. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't noticed the hate that much. And it came a lot from the East Coast, I feel. Like, I don't know if it was because of the cosign or what it was, but it turned me up. You know, it turned me up. Where it was more where people was more picking at what I did rather than just enjoying the art of Big T. But I think that comes with when you reach a high level of success.
Yeah. Does that taint your impression of the culture? Like when all you're doing is being the best you, to put food on your table, to embrace and respect the art, and then you there's a little bit of you that's like, yo man, ain't you happy for this? Aren't you happy for the scene? Aren't you happy for me? Like aren't you happy for the opportunity that this gives to the scene? It's a tough one, man, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a tough one, man. Repeat the question. You said what?
Listen, I'm musing actually the because I think anyone that has had a trajectory like you've had can relate that when you're given such a high acclaim like that, you kind of think to yourself, oh man, like, you know, this is, it ain't like entirely all about you. It's about the scene and it's about the culture.
Yeah, for sure.
And then that gets stifled a little bit. Did it stifle you at all? Did it make you feel like, what the fuck's this scene about? If I'm getting like that kind of level of like
love and you give me hate once you get this big. It's like a crab in a bucket mentality, man. Like it is kind of like that with battle rap. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that, but gotta fight through it, man. That comes with it. That's a leveling up, and that's another pressure that only comes with that you succeed. It's a good and a bad thing for me. Yeah. Like now I gotta work harder by actually living up to the standards that they put on me. You know, but actually meeting those standards makes it rewarding for me.
Yeah, for sure. And he does come from, you know, 50 Cent and Drake do come from different neck of the woods, you know. But so the trajectory and the lily pad leap. Yeah. I mean, you had the total slaughter with Shady, right? Mm-hmm. There was these, you'd kind of establishing yourself as an artist as well. How does that translate? This is probably the age-old biggest question for beatboxers as well, so I'm going to throw it your way as well. How do you translate that energy into record? How did you translate that energy into a record?
When I was... All right, now I got to go all the way back for one more time. I started battling and recording kind of the same time. When I started battling, I got a producer from Chicago right now. I really don't know where he's at. I really don't know where he at right now, but he was a doctor. He kind of put me on. But the thing about it, he never let me battle on a song. He always taught me structure. Like, no, 16 bars, Big T. I need a hook right here. Mm. Too complicated. Make it simpler. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I always had like a music savvy thing. And in fact, me being from Chicago, more Midwest, where battling wasn't really prominent, battling was second. You know what I mean? Like that came, we did that on our spare time.
Yeah.
Music was first. Music was always first.
Yeah.
Battling just took off to the point where it became bigger than my music. You know what I mean? And I understand the fact that people in first impression, they love how they love you. You know what I mean? Like, we love you for this. So it's kind of now we are respecting them. Since we love you for this so much, we'll listen to you for this. But we really love you for this. So stay in this. Mm. But we'll take this. But you got to stay hot here, which is cool for that. But now it's also fans that I want you to just listen just for this. You know what I mean? Like, in the fans that I gave y'all... I this battle so much, it's time for y'all to go back in, because I do the same thing in my music. Not necessarily, I do lyrically, it's the same thing in my music, and it's on Pink's pattern. And I don't really want to kind of explain, I kind of want them to see. And as different and unique as I am on a battlefield, I'm the same way in music. Yeah. You know, I try not to stay in pocket too much. But I try to, you know, give people entertainment and give people my real life, like my struggle. I don't really complain about nothing. If you see me complaining, I'm probably going to be doing it in the rap. You know what I mean? That's my therapy. That's my, you know, where I could get off my energy of that type of shit, on how I feel, even about the battle culture, you know, even if how I feel about growing up in Chicago. It's some things I went through that you probably would never hear me talk about in words. Some things you would never hear me talk about in words. So that's why I feel like they need to go listen to my music.
I feel that. And it takes a lifetime to create a legacy, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can't, I feel you 100%. Again, from the beatbox point of view, you know, what you see on stage is a persona, and beatboxing as well, there's a human in that, but when you try and put that on record, it's a very different proposition.
Right.
At least with battle rap, there's there's an environment for that, and then there's an environment for this. So I do feel that. But I also feel as well, though, that the audience in the battle rap genre, they the rappers, when they put it, when it comes to putting out records, that's their audience for that as well. You know what I mean? It's pretty crazy. It's, again, it's its own ecosystem, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It's almost like, man, it's almost like the battle rap that's who listen to our music as well. The fans, they listen to our music as well. But, you know, like, but they love us more for battle. That's why I like coming on this show, talk about my battles and you know, also get them my music, where to go get it and all that type of stuff.
1,000%. 1,000%. So we got the quarantuna.
Yeah, quarantuna, man. I've been in this quarantine so long, I infuse with it.
I love it.
I've been in the quarantine so long, I confuse with it. And let me tell you something else about this quarantuna thing. Was not just it happened because, man, like during the quarantine, it was so much bullshit going on. So I'm sitting in the basement. And I'm working on stuff, and people don't know when they're going to have the next thing. And I said, man, what else I got to do? What else I'm going to do? And I said, I'm going to rap, man. All the verses that I had, I rapped every day, freestyle. If you go on my Instagram page, you're going to see me put out a freestyle every day for the first 30 days.
Hear that, everyone? Get yourselves down on that Instagram. Instagram, what's it? Tell them the Instagram.
BT_tuna. See, maybe not the first 30 days active, but the first 20 days for sure. And then maybe once every other day, I was dropping freestyle videos, just spitting bars, man. And then that's when I started getting verified on Instagram. People started watching me, and they started picking up, and then they started messing with more of my music. Fine. I've been burning it down. Like, even when you could go see my Sway in the Morning freestyles, stuff like that, man. You know, so this is what I do, man. It's no point. I'm a rap renaissance guy. It's nothing in rap that I can't do. Like, I could move through anything in rap, you know? Oh, a real rap guy. I could go through any type of rapping that got to do with rapping, freestyling. If we battling, we could do it. If you making music, we could do it. If we ciphering, we could do it. It ain't too many people that I feel messing with me, and I'm willing to prove it. Like, you know, when people be like people be like, yo, you're not messing with me, but they ain't willing to prove it. Like, all right, battle me then. You know what I'm saying? All right, you feel like you better cipher me? I'll cipher me. All right, you can rap better than me. Make a better song. You know, I'm willing to put it on the line. You know?
That's fire. Tell me, because what you're saying there is absolutely for a discipline in rap and hip hop. That should just be like in the brochure.
Oh, yeah, from where I'm from, that you gotta have that. Like, but that's not right now. They're not making that necessary for MC. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like I gotta have it all, man. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I gotta have it all. But
I love your tenacity, and I love the fact that all this time. You know, I think quarantuna, I feel maybe it represents not just musically, but you and the situation of rap is like when everyone's in quarantine, there's a level playing field here. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like battling. We're now on a flat surface.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, every resource that I had, I put it together. Who could work now when nothing, you don't got a label that could, because ain't no shows around. Who could work now?
Yeah. Where's your crowd now?
Let's go. Could you still rap?
Yo.
People sitting down and listen, they need to be entertained. Can you entertain them now? That's what quarantine came in, man.
That's real talk. Real talk, because I speak to DJs as well, and it's like all of a sudden they start playing the tunes they want to spin. Rather than what they have to, and it's the same. I think it's the same. It's the same quality control that is now being put into battle raps, into making your music, into recording stuff. You have more time to care about the things that you love and find and narrow your audience to a quality. You know,
right.
a crazy time. But it's also a very creative time, isn't it?
Yeah, very creative time, man. Like, man, I just didn't want to, like, man, I just, like, all this, like, COVID and stuff, man, you got to keep your mind on something else, man. You know, it's almost like we can't figure this out. This isn't, you know, this isn't in our hands. You know, I put it in God's hands, and I went to do God's work, and I feel like he blessed me with the talent to rap. So,
Yeah.
I put all my attention into that, and I feel like this is what's coming out of it, and I've developed a new style since then. I see things a little better, you know. Me and Bazaar from D12, we got this workout show we've been working on, man. I've lost 44 pounds in 1 month.
Like, congratulations, that's fire.
Yeah. 44 pounds in 1 month, man. I've been eating good, man, breathing better, my energy been up, you know. And like I say, man, this Big T right here can't battle anybody. You gotta be special, because I feel like especially killing somebody very bad, right?
He been in training, you know, like, I mean, on some
I want to kill somebody, but you got to be somebody. Like, I want to make an example out of somebody, a big example, you know. So my next opponent ain't gonna be anybody.
They say, it's like Tyson coming out, not retirement, but Tyson coming back into the ring.
Coming back, just go ahead and make an example. But this time, like, now this Tyson coming back in the ring ready to knock, looking to fight somebody that's relevant and knock them out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I ain't fighting no old Roy Jones. I'm trying to knock out who you feel is hot now, you know?
Exactly.
Because they still, you know, this is a game of the wits. And I've done more and I've seen more. And I feel like can't do nothing with me.
You feel like, you just said that, and that just triggered me to something that I was coming to a little earlier on. Battle of wits. It takes a lot of education to be a good MC, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, no. Some people could be smart, but some people could just do it enough, and you know. But I feel like it takes. I feel like you'll be a better MC if you are a little more smarter. You know more words, or like that's an advantage. It's never a disadvantage to be smarter if you're a rapper. You know what I mean? Like, even my parents, they went to college. You know what I mean? Like, so. I just so happened to kind of like, you know, run into, like, went the other, had a different path. But with that being said, they were always smart and they were talking to me with the proper, you know, with the right way to talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, I remember telling me, like, I didn't baby talk you, you know? Yeah. I talked to you, you know? So with that, my words and my vocabulary stretched a little farther, I think, than certain people.
Do you think... without getting too, without going down any kind of social commentary route. And I don't want this to appear that I'm in any way insinuating the rap battle genre is going down this way. But in terms of like modern, well, young people and do you think there's enough intellectual property coming into genres like rap battle that would weigh? Is there a golden era in URL rap battle, and do you think that there's enough education, for instance, being one of the key factors that will bring more intellectual battle rappers in this generation?
Into it.
If I said that right, am I making sense?
You saying it another way, where I could think, where I could try to translate it.
Because I'm treading on eggshells here.
Era of battle rap.
Yeah.
And is it enough people that raps kind of on a smart level that will make another smart generation of battle rap?
There you go.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. yeah. It's a lot of intelligent people, man. Mook went to college. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of like, so in order to even keep up with Mook, you got to have a certain intelligence. You know, if that guy's inspired, Loaded Lux, in order to keep up with Lux, you got to have a certain intelligence. There's people that inspire to be beloved and dot be died. And it's a lot of people.
So you're definitely now,
even with punchline and take a certain intelligence, like you got to know some of the reference to even get the punchlines.
Yeah. it's almost like the intelligence level has gone, and you've got to stay on top of the game. And then going back to what we were saying before about being immersed in the scene before, you know, stepping into the room and not being actually up to speed with what's going on, it can seem like a train coming at you, can't it?
Yeah. And then that's what I'm saying. Go ahead. People watch Bodied. If they never seen battle rap and they kind of want to know what they mean by punchlines, Bodied got like a scene in the beginning of it that kind of explains to people that what's a metal, what's a gun rhyme, what's a, you know what I mean? So if y'all want like a early, like a quick tutoring session, if y'all don't understand the battle rap, the street culture, the battle rap scene, and go see Body, just the beginning of it, you'll see it's like a level one stepping format of it, if I can say.
The DNA, the seminal, the yeah. precursor. Wow. Yeah. Fire. Mm-hmm. Fire. So let's just wrap it up. What's your favorite battle? What's your favorite battle you've had?
My favorite battle I had was I always say a learning experience. Me and Hollow the Don, I feel like I learned a lot from that battle. I feel like he got me, but that was my favorite battle of being in. Where I feel like, dang, I can't quite figure this dude out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, damn, he witty. Like, all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that probably was my favorite one. I like me and Danger Zone a lot. I like me and Surf Battle. Love me and Hitman. It's a cop, man. I don't know. I got a lot. And one thing I do, what people don't know, I don't really watch my battles. Like, I kind of battle and let it go. Like, because I want to keep making them. And I don't want to harbor on the last performance. I want to beat the next. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I want to beat the next performance without even, not just beat it, make my next performance have its own lane.
Yeah.
So one day, I'm going to actually go back and watch all these battles as a fan one day.
For real?
I haven't seen a lot of battles. Any battle that's been on the URL TV app, I haven't seen.
I want to know what your big T is. Like, if you, whether, you know, if you've got like the URL rap battle equivocal of a record collection and you're looking at these individual people, there's a, as a fan, there's a space there, which is big T, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your big T?
Who's the one I like the most?
Yeah.
I like the one that battles Shotgun Suge. You know, but Big T battles Shotgun Suge. He was, you know, like they hated him and he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's
you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Y'all forgot. Oh, y'all forgot. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? I was just saying, it's kind of like, hey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I liked it, that Big T. He was funny to me. The Danger Zone Big T was ruthless.
Ruthless, yeah.
Stump him. Cut his throat. The Sue Surf Big T was well calculated. Ooh. Put together and ruthless. It's nothing you could do when I'm that guy.
Have you ever had any battles that combine all three in your mind? All three of those different examples. The definitive Big T moment.
Where it's like, when you got all three of those, man, yeah. That's a tough one, right? I can't honestly say I've reached where I had all three of that at the same thing. Well, I'd be cocky, but I probably beat the person, but I wouldn't be as prepared. But I still have enough to beat them. But then it'll be one where I'm super prepared, but I won't, you know, like it'll be something missing out of those three type of guys. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it was one performance where I just had them.
Boom, together.
K-Shine round one was tough like that. That's probably an example where all of that was won.
Right.
Battle K-Shine.
Well, you know, and that round is seminal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a few moments that stick out in rap battle. You and K-Shine definitely, that stands out exceptionally to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, can you imagine when it's like you've got all three? I think maybe that's the zeitgeist. Maybe that is what every artist looks for, isn't it? They just look for that perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. Where everything, and that's what I'm on right now, man. Where get everything aligned right now. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm just not battling anybody willy-nilly. When I was with NWX, we battled back to back. I was with a run and gun team. We was a run and gun team. Now when I'm just big, I'm battling this Big T, Big Tuna for Chicago. Mm-hmm. I just can't battle anybody. It's more of a, these count.
And
then you got to come right if I'm rapping against you, like, because I'm going to come to kill you right now. I can't just give this battle to anybody. You got to be somebody like, I got to make an example of somebody like Pat Stay or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I admire battle rappers so much, and to even have a strong, steady, and mutually awesome conversation with you, Big T, it's been a fucking pleasure, brother.
I appreciate that, man. This conversation was good energy, man. And because I always love the UK, man. I always did, man. I always show love out there, and anytime I come out there, it's a good experience.
Blessings, my brother. And listen, guys, if you want to check out Quarantuna, any of the Apple, Spotify tracks that's going on right now, Big T inside the place, you know the Instagram, you know what it do. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, my brother. You're a star. Keep on shining.
Appreciate you, bro. Get some sleep, man. I know it's late over there. I'm about to go outside.
Actually, hold tight 1 second now, because I've got a couple more things afterwards, but we're going to sign off. We're signing off. Big T, you're a star. Thank you so much, my brother.
Appreciate that, man.
Stay lucky. Killer Keller podcast, out like it was out of fashion. More on the way. Don't forget to share. Stay lucky. Peace.